go that lane. That's fun. Hey everybody, Brian Wimpen, Drive Through HR, coming to you live. Great Monday morning. Got one of my favorite guests of all time. I'm going to introduce in just a moment. And first of all, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, show supporter, my friends over at People Clues. Thank you so much for all that you do. If you got assessment questions, check it out, peopleclues.com. Let's get to the guest as quickly as possible because she is freaking brilliant and will have really good things to say, especially the topic we're going to chat about today. We'll get some people stirred up, which always makes it fun. So, Trish McFarlane, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. Okay, so I'm giggling, first of all, at that introduction. Just makes me kind of laugh at myself. And thank you for Green Day. As soon as Green Day
just
starts playing,
you.
Big smile on my face. So that was a nice touch. I love it. Thank you.
That was totally planned and calculated, by the way.
Was it?
It really was, because we don't play Green Day for open anymore. We do something else. But I just uploaded some new music for the outtakes.
Yeah.
Which will when I been running a lot lately, so back onto that. And so I listened to a kind of a Run remix, which is kind of this blogger. Like marathon, we'll call her a chick, but she's a woman. She puts together these awesome remixes and no cost, just a little bit of advertisement. And they're kick-ass because she structures it, for everybody listening, whether you care or not, she structures it like 110 to 115 beats a minute on the songs, and then as you work through like the 75-minute remix, it goes up to 140 beats and then comes back down. So it's kind of cool.
Oh my gosh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
So anyway, I'm going to play that hopefully tomorrow, but it's pretty intense. So I didn't know if everybody could handle it.
Yeah, and I'm really not all that intense. So definitely taking it a notch down. Green Day, that's the way to go.
Whatever. So awesome. Okay, everybody, we're ready. We're kicking it off. So Monday. Drive Through HR, Trish McFarlane, please introduce yourself, and then we're going to roll into kind of what's top of mind and keeping you up at night.
Okay.
With HR.
Well, with HR, yeah, exactly. I'll try and just keep it on topic. So I am Trish McFarlane, and I am an HR professional working for a company called Proficient. It's an IT management consulting company, and I am the head of HR here. And I've been here for about my sixth week. And, you know, it's been an interesting ride. I think that there is a lot going on in the tech world, and Proficient is no different. And so it's been very exciting. We actually just closed on an acquisition here 2 weeks ago. So I have been very busy not only learning my new company, but really doing some heavy lifting right from the start. So not much free time for my writing, although I've been really trying to stay up late, get up early, that kind of thing, to at least maintain on the blog. So my blog is hrringleader.com. And I think I'm even trying to squeeze in some extra writing for womenofhr.com coming up real soon. So that's who I am.
Wow. And both absolutely kick ass. So, and by the way, everybody out there, this isn't a love fest. I'm gonna bring the fastballs a little bit later. I'm kind of just positioning it. So, damn it, I can't find something. I'm over here looking for something and I can't find it. So the hell with it. I'll pay attention. It's how Drive Through HR rolls, folks. So Trish, let's go. Take us into your world. You're 5 weeks in. What's at the moment? What's in HR? What is kind of in your sights, kind of top of mind with you?
Right. So for me, you know, a couple things. Obviously, you're coming into a new job, so you're trying to, you know, get acclimated, meet everyone, figure out who has influence, who has power, how do you make, you know, decisions happen and things move more quickly. I'm actually in a position that's really exciting because there's a lot of opportunity for growing in terms of not only what we're doing and how we're approaching HR. So for anybody that, that either does know me or kind of has followed me at all before that we've talked with, I'm really interested in how do we evolve how HR is currently handled at the moment. And so for me, it's one of those positions that's really good for doing that. I can try new things and not have to worry too much about failure because, you know, some things are going to work and some aren't. For me in particular, though, it's been interesting because as the other person had transitioned out, you know, I am getting inundated with calls from vendors every single day to the point that, you know, I'm tired of picking up the phone. So that's sort of the big thing that's in my, on my mind, you know, all the time right now, because I want to really feel like I can come in and get a good handle on what are the current vendors that we're using? How does it work? What have we purchased? What are we, you know, are we taking advantage fully of what we already have? Those sorts of questions. But it seems like before I can really even get my arms wrapped around that, I'm just being inundated with all these other calls. So I guess for me, I'd be really interested in what the people listening, you know, what their experience has been with that, and just some techniques to sort of help weed through and pick out and even kick out some that, you know, that you may not want in the mix. So that's where I am right now.
What, you know, you've been in HR for a few years and at different levels and with different, you know, different companies. Have you seen the landscape change now that you, two-part question. One is, how do you think everybody is arriving at you to inundate you with, you know, we want to pitch our stuff? First question. Second question is, you know, how has it been? Have you seen it change with this new role and being at a new point in time versus how you've been approached in the past with, you know, people wanting to pitch their products?
You know, okay, so for me in the new role, you know, they're obviously becoming aware when they call, or maybe they talk, you know, talk with the receptionist, whatever. They're aware that I'm the person that's going to be a major decision-making person and whether or not they're going to get their products sold. So I understand that, you know, the calls are going to come. I guess what's specifically different for me than maybe, you know, the last couple of years, so I will just kind of caveat that by the last 2 years I was not in a position where I was the one having to actively make those decisions. Prior to that, I was. So there it seemed like it was more the company figuring out what was our direction, what was our strategy, what products were we interested in, and almost, you know, going out, going through the RFP process, that sort of thing. So it was a much more professional, thoughtful type of interchange between both the company and the potential vendors. I feel like now I'm getting a lot of calls from people who really are lazy, for lack of a better word. I mean, they're not finding out about who Perficient is and what we do, you know. So I feel like when they call, again, if they haven't done their homework, I really have no use in talking with them right now. You know, or they'll pitch me something so generic and basic that if they took 2 seconds to, you know, to look on LinkedIn and look me up or look on Twitter and see maybe, you know, what products I already know about, talk about those sorts of things, again, it would make it a more personal type interaction and I'd be far more likely to give them time. I'm finding that my preference is that over the last 3 to 4 years of being online in a social way with HR vendors, Those are my go-to companies, right? Those are the ones I'm most interested in because they built a relationship with me as an HR professional prior to me having that money to spend. So what I'd be interested to hear is do other people experience that? Are they seeing that, you know, if they are a vendor, are you starting to target people who maybe aren't in those decision-making positions right this minute, but you anticipate 2, 3, 4 years down the road they will be? So you're building that relationship. So when the time comes, of course they want to work with you, you know, because they already know you as a person, you know them. I don't know, there's just something there. And, for me to get a cold call from someone I know nothing about and they don't know, they really haven't done their homework, it's kind of a waste of both of our time.
Well, and it's, do you think that everybody is, a lot of the vendors, they're saying that you've changed roles, now you're the director off LinkedIn, they're scraping LinkedIn, and that's how they're possibly getting to you, and at the end of the day, they're just lazy, and they're not taking the time to figure it out that way. How do you think? I mean, obviously, or is it just the you're on? You know, they're calling in to see. It's just the normal. You know, it's just the normal cold call process.
I think it's more the normal cold call process. I will say I have had an increase in the LinkedIn connections and trying to get business that way. But at least I feel like, okay, at least they're going out there and looking me up and trying to figure out where do I work. Where, you know, I can see they've viewed the profile. I can see, you know, anyone else in their organization maybe above them or lateral that's viewed my profile as well. So at least I feel like they are doing some homework. So that doesn't tend to, I guess, irritate me as much as truly just those cold calls. And when I, you know, I've gotten to where I start challenging them. I'm like, well, can you tell me a little bit about what Proficient does? And then there's silence. I'm like,
ouch.
Okay. It's like, okay, why don't you go back and look up my company, and then when you're ready and prepared, then we'll talk. You know, but I almost feel like I'm sort of being put in an adversarial kind of a role. And, you know, I don't want to do that, but it's almost like I'm having to teach some of these people how to actually go about sales. And to
oh,
me, it's that basic.
Bad.
They're just lazy. You know, I actually have spent time in the last week coaching someone and trying to do it nicely, but saying, you might want to actually go out and look on Twitter. You might actually want to go out, you know, look here, here, and here, and you would have never sent me what you sent me. So it's just been interesting.
Wow, they're going to get really, really hungry. I mean, if they're trying to call into folks that, you know, just cold calling. That's a tough approach, especially when you don't do a step of even trying to understand who you're talking to. It sounds like you got a really either inexperienced, low level. We haven't talked about who it is, and we probably won't. But who are calling into you? But is it? I mean, what types of platforms? Performance management, ATS, comp benefits. I mean, what are the different?
All
kind of
the
verticals?
Above.
I'm just really just
all
everybody
the-
just.
Everybody. Probably the obviously I'm not going to name anybody, but the worst offenders tend to be the people wanting to do background checks and some more of the basic tech, you know, just day-to-day tactical stuff for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, but no, everyone all the way up through really, you know, really big vendors that you would never expect that from.
Interesting.
And these are not and you know, it's interesting. These aren't, cuz then of course when I get that call, I'm immediately looking that person up online. And these are not always the low-level beginners. That's what makes me even more angry. I could almost forgive it if they were, you know, if they're new to it or whatever.
Are you making a list? Come on, be honest. Are you making a list of, you know, some people call it the list, some people call it the shit list, some people call it
mm-hmm.
whatever list that you're like absolutely wasted my time. And just so you have a running total. I mean, just to let people know out there, vendors, listen, this comes from somebody that is
right.
exactly the wheelhouse of what you who you want to talk to. So are you keeping track of that, or are you just like whatever and you're moving on?
No, I do. I keep it's a mental list, but yes, I've got a list of people that I'm thinking, no, I wouldn't work with them. Just due
Lovely.
To the approach. Because here's why, Brian, because it's like if someone takes that little time to research my company, I'm not even saying they have to look me up, but I think that would be a quick, you know, two-minute exercise to look up the company
sure.
and the person. But even if they don't look up me personally, that's okay too. But if they can't even tell me about my company, what we do and why they might be able to help me with that, I already know if I were to hire that company, that to me that shows that's about the amount of interest and detail they're going to put into the work they provide to me. So I wouldn't use them.
Well, and that's have you had anybody? We'll go deeper in this because I think it's a great topic. Because that's you know, because it's I've got one specific software development house that I swear to God
mm-hmm.
has been calling me for 3 years. That I used to, it's kind of a game now because I used to get kind of it used to make me so angry. That I finally quit saying, I know it's not your fault, but it's your database and your company. Take me off your effing list. You know,
right,
do not
right.
call me ever again, or I swear to God, I'm going to get golly attorney general, and you guys are just pissing me off, right? And we've went, I don't even know where they're out of. I have no clue, but it's called Futon something, Futon Software Development House or something like that.
Oh,
and
wow.
years, it's probably been 6 or 7 years they've been cold calling. It is fantastic now because I just go the gamut, right? I mean, I put them on hold, and I'm like, can you just hold for just a minute or two? I'm just finishing up, and then I just let them stay on hold until I hang up, like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, just because I'm like, you know, I think that's fair. So,
well, you know, if they keep on, and if it's a, you know, it's clearly wasting your time, so.
Years. It has been years.
Right.
So has anybody mentioned your blog or tried to make it personal? Anybody at all?
Yes, definitely.
Okay,
and
well, that's
say
good.
If there are people, yeah, if there are people that have, you know, that maybe we've at least had even minimal interaction over the last few years on Twitter or LinkedIn, they'll mention that. And to me, that's good. It's a nice reminder of, oh, hey, yeah, that is who you are. Yes, we did, you know, have a discussion at one point about this, that, or the other thing. Again, it just sort of gives me that personal connection, even if I haven't met them in person. And it just shows me that they're spending a little bit more time with thinking about trying to sell me something that they really may think I need versus I'm just another name on the list and they're just going down through it, checking it off, you know?
Sure. Yeah. What's the most random thing that you've been cold called on since you took over the role?
Oh.
Good question, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
That is a good question. You know what? Honestly, I don't think there's anything too random. Yeah, it's just a lot of the same. A lot of just, you know, trying to, you know, applicant tracking systems and just whole, you know, HR management systems in general. And like I said, lots of background checks, lots of drug screen places and that sort of thing. So, yeah, nothing too exciting yet.
Gotcha. Well, that's we'll keep that in queue for later on. So
okay.
I'm going to do a quick reset. Everybody listening to Drive Through HR, Brian Wimpen and Trish McFarlane, HR extraordinaire out of St. Louis, Missouri. Have you had anybody that talked to you or presented the fact that they had their certification, PHR, SPHR? Has anybody brought up that, you know, what do you think about it? I mean, tried to just engage you in a dialogue about that, not so much like selling you, but just trying to get to know you.
No. No one has ever mentioned it, not in my entire career.
Would that make a difference if they took a if they came, you know, if they had gotten their certification, you know, had been in the role or whatever at some point in time and were able to, you know, try and connect with you on that type of level?
I won't say it wouldn't make a difference because obviously I think that's a very, you know, to actually study and sit for an exam, I think that's a very good exercise to do. I mean, I will say I'm one of those people, I specifically chose not to go after my certification because at the time it was sort of me making a decision about that. I had already been in HR for quite a long time and I didn't feel like it had ever held me back not having it. What I will say is that I would be equally impressed by someone who has spent time really doing their homework in the HR space. So they don't have to be anyone who's ever practiced HR or recruiting. As long as I get a good sense just from, you know, or maybe they point me, maybe they've written an article, a white paper, or something on their company website, whatever, just demonstrating their general knowledge. To me, things like that could be equally as compelling.
Well, that's, you know, and everybody, these are completely, completely good scenarios for the vendors out there from top to bottom, it sounds like, you know, literally top mm-hmm. to bottom, from more experienced, large organizations to the smaller, you know, more transactional, maybe, you know, background check firms, maybe, you know, I'm not saying they're the smallest, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've had those calls too, and they tend to work with some more entry-level folks, it feels like, versus have somebody from a enterprise, you know, HR system call you, typically aren't completely entry-level because the complexity
exactly.
and the price point is too much. So,
right.
Interesting. So let's talk a little bit. Let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about how HR Evolution, and you can tell everybody what that is, how that plays in and works with your new role. First part of the question. Second part is, how did you couch that with your new employer that you have all these other interests that you work with when you were going through the interview process?
Well, for me,
or did
this
you
was
never
the
tell
sec-
them? Or maybe you just never
oh,
told
no,
them
I did.
And you're just going to spring them on and say, oh, hey, by the way, I got like all these things I got to do.
No, I think if the recruiter or, you know, my ultimate, my boss, my CFO, if they, all I have to do is Google me and they can see what I do, so it's nothing I can hide nor would I hide. After I took my last job, it was something where, you know, as I interviewed it for that one, I brought it up early on. I sort of said, you know what, this is Trish. This is sort of the whole package, you know. I don't do these things on work time. However, here are the benefits from a work perspective. And so those things have gradually over the years been incorporated into my job. And so that is very much the case here in my current role. So, yes, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, blog during the day. You know, if I get an idea, I jot it down real quick and move on back to work. But it's definitely something where if I'm speaking at a conference or if I'm doing a webinar, podcast, white paper, whatever it is I'm working on, I try to make sure that it's something that's actually going to be beneficial from a work perspective to the extent I can. So I would say maybe, just estimating, maybe 95% of the time that's the case. So that for me, that's the whole picture. I would never take a job now if they didn't sort of accept that that's who I am and what I do and what makes me feel energized and challenged and creative, and that's sort of my outlet. Plus, it brings a lot of benefit to the HR team, to the recruiting team in an organization if you have connections and you can expose them to things that they might not otherwise, you know, have exposure to, and often at little or no cost. So to me, that's an added benefit of just using sort of the connections I have for that purpose.
Absolutely makes complete sense. And that was kind of a loaded question. I figured you covered that very thoroughly with them. You're a fairly pragmatic individual. So,
well, thank you.
So HR Evolution. What's happening? What's coming up? You're one of the founders of it. Kind of tell us what that's what's changed. What's it evolving to? Let's chat about that for a little while.
Okay, so HR Evolution, we were actually hoping to have this all posted by now, but due to changes in my job, that's put us a little bit behind schedule from where I'd like to be. But we are going to partner again with the HR Technology Conference this fall, and so HR Evolution will be in Chicago on Sunday, October 7th. We will also be working with the HR Technology Conference and having some of the HR Evolution sessions during the conference itself. So much like last fall, that was a very good model, worked out on both sides very well. So for me, that really helps us in the planning mode. You know, the five people on the planning committee with me, Crystal Peterson, Ben Eubanks, Steve Bowes, and Matt Stolick, you know, we all work full-time jobs. We all have other activities, you know, blogs and shows and all sorts of other things we do. We're trying just to be, I guess the big change for us was really trying to be practical in using our time and to manage it well, because it's something that we believe in so passionately in trying to give back to our HR community and our recruiting community that we want it to be perfection, obviously. So if people pay, you know, $150 or $200, you know, that they feel like they really went back home with something different, some key takeaways, actionable items. And for me, that's been the best part of it, is sort of after we've had these last two from 2011, both the one in Atlanta and the one in Vegas, I've received a lot more feedback from people on, here's a session I attended, you know, here's what I learned, here's what I took back to my job, here's how it played out. So I'm starting to see more of just, instead of, you know, like when you go to a conference, sometimes you sit in a session and then you kind of go home and maybe you don't think about it again for a long time. So to me, that's sort of the evolution of the event itself. And I'm just seeing, I guess, a whole different group of people starting to gravitate to it, which is also really interesting for me. So it's not about, you know, sort of just going back and hanging out with the same, you know, 50 people. No, it's definitely expanding and new people coming into the mix. And they're not all HR professionals, which I find a wonderful, wonderful change. We've always had, you know, just a handful here and there of people who are in communications or marketing or, you know, even finance, whatever. So seeing more people that are just business professionals wanting to come to me is a great thing. So I'm hoping to see more of that this fall as well. But we should have tickets on sale sometime this month. That's the goal.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sure you'll let me know so we can push it out via the massive drive-through HR media empire.
I will. I will. You guys would fill it up. It would fill right immediately.
I'd say that's what we do. that's our give back. Hey, question from Animal off the back channel.
Okay.
Did you get your new job via social media? If not, why not?
I guess technically I did. I was contacted by a headhunter who found me on LinkedIn. And specifically, I had been in LinkedIn, I think, when I looked back, it had been a long time. It had been since maybe 07, early 07, somewhere in that area. And I was one of those people that only had like a half-complete profile, never really spent much time in it. You know, as other things, I've spent more time on these other platforms. And I went to a session last summer where Craig Fisher and Jason Seiden were talking about the importance of having a 100% complete profile and really using keywords. And I honestly just went to do it because it was something I thought, wow, it's really incomplete. And I'll even give some credit to William Tinkup as well, because, you know, he talked about a lot about having consistency between your LinkedIn profile, your Facebook profile, your Twitter profile, even if the same people can't see you. And so I went back and thought, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. So I did some of those things, and it wasn't an intended outcome for me to have a lot more traffic, but for some reason that coincided with when I started getting all these other opportunities coming to me. And so I initially was not that interested in this one. I sort of even gave some other names, and you know, I wasn't really in a place yet to really be looking to move. And anyway, the persistent recruiter was very good about telling me why it would be a good move for me. So yes, came through LinkedIn.
Well, fantastic, Animal. Good question. Thank you. So what, of late, what do you think is probably kind of the most inspiring to you professionally? Of people writing, you've heard a podcast, you've seen a thought leader, you know, a thought leader do something. You know, what's been some kind of content that has been really inspiring, or not?
So I have two favorites right now, and they've always been there. These are some you know, old favorites as well. But I think that Andy Hedworth, he writes Serona Says, is just on fire. For whatever reason, the things that he is writing about lately speak to me. So he shares good infographics. He has great observations. I don't always necessarily agree with him, which I also think is great because it makes me stretch and think differently. So, you know, I think people should definitely check out his blog. And if you just look up either Andy Hedworth or SeronaConsulting.com and then click on his blog link, he's a great one. The other one is Maren Hogan. Her blog, Marinated, to me is one of the best. I mean, especially lately. She's just, I don't know, all cylinders are firing. Again, it's speaking to me. Maybe it's because I'm in a new role. Maybe it's because she's really embarking on her new consulting gig herself. And so there's a synergy there. And I just feel like some of the ideas and things she's putting out there are just really relevant right now to people. So I would encourage people to read both of them and follow them both on Twitter if they're not already.
Great, great answers, as usual. So let's actually, where can folks, let's give them your Twitter ID and tell them both, you know, the blog addresses. Let's get that covered, and then we'll roll on out.
Okay, so they can follow me on Twitter at Trish, T-R-I-S-H, McFarlane, M-C-F-A-R-L-A-N-E. And my blog is hrringleader.com, and also on womenofhr.com. And I'm excited. I'm going to be at TalentNet Live speaking later this week on Friday. And then following that, I would love for people to consider coming out to the Conference Board's Social Media and HR Seminar in New York on April 17th and 18th. So definitely check out the Conference Board. They've got some great, great events coming up, and these are very high-level uses of social media for human resources. So we'll be good stuff.
Well, fantastic. Trish, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for spending lunch with us. And I look forward to chatting again with you very, very soon. We're gonna run some new outtake music here, and we'll see how it goes. I haven't actually tested this, so let's roll. All right, new stuff.
Thank you.
Rock and roll. See ya. yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.